relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Usually, I have long geopolitical, philosophical discussions with our next guest, mostly about current affairs and a little bit of history. Today, we're going to exploit his knowledge of Western civilization. What ails it today for our manhood hour? He is the president, the CEO of Zenga News. Check them out, zenga.news, and the author of a whole slew of books, all worth your time. I would recommend just two: Losing Bin Laden, How Bill Clinton's Failures Unleashed Global Terror, and Mastermind, The Many Faces of the 9/11 Architect Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Rich Miniter, welcome back in studio.
Good to see you.
So I don't know when it was, what the apropos was, but I said, I've got to get Rich back on this show for one reason and one reason alone. The story you told about one of your hunting trips with your father, dragging a deer with chains out of the forest, and what it taught you about values and America. Would you just give us a précis of that story, Rich, for our millions of listeners?
Sure. It was a few weeks before Christmas in 1974, and we were living under a tarp. Down the slope from a beautiful house, Anderson window stickers still there, the brand new windows, a beautiful roof, a chimney with no smoke coming out of it. It was our house, and we weren't allowed to live there because the government had not certified it safe.
Wow.
My father and I had built that house. All the electrical lines were laid. The plumbing was there. Everything would work perfectly, but the government wouldn't let us move in. And we were living under this tarp, warmed only by this fire that we constantly kept going, and we hunted in the forest for food. And we had a blind. We had looked for scrapes, where the deer will scrape their antlers against trees, and it's a pattern. Deer follow where they scrape. We would set up a blind, and we would take a deer. And this particular day, through what I remember, and of course I was very small, there's very deep snow, we had killed this deer, we had gutted it, leaving red on the white snow among the green, thick pine forest at the bottom of where the water had drained in spring. And we had to drag it uphill to the tarp and hang it to dry and then cut that meat and cook it over a fire. We were living like cavemen. And 3 years before, my parents had worked on Wall Street and before they'd gone back to nature and decided to live in the Catskill Mountains. And I was a boy still trying to understand the world. And we had the chains around the deer and we're dragging it through this heavy snow. And maybe I was looking for a rest or maybe I was looking for philosophical inspiration. But I turned to my father and I said, Dad, why do we have a Marine Corps? My father was a proud Marine. And he puts his hand around that cold metal chain around the deer. And he says, so we don't live with these around our legs.
Wow. So the Americans aren't in chains.
Yes.
Wow. Was that the answer you expected?
No, but it was the answer. And this is part of a boy learning from his father.
Yeah.
The enormity of the answer he could have given. He was a very well-educated man. But he also knew that I was a boy, 7. He also knew that I was tiny and in a snowdrift, and we had another mile or two to go uphill through the pine forest and the snow to get the deer to where we could begin to prepare it to butcher it. And he had to give a short answer. He had to give a true answer.
Right.
And he also knew that that answer would likely be remembered for decades, as it has been.
As it has been.
And
now millions are hearing it.
Yes. So we don't live in chains.
So let's put that incredible story, which the moment you told me was seared onto my, you know, cerebellum, and hopefully will be now, you know, for millions of people as well. Can we just take that as a snapshot of what, 1972 or something, and compare it to where we are today with the Easter proclamation of transgender recognition and everything else, the concepts of toxic masculinity? Do you take this seriously, or is this a true assault on masculine values, or is this a fad by some extremist? What does Rich Miniter think about the latest iteration, I guess we would say, of feminism? Would this be, what, fourth, fifth wave?
There's really a crisis of confidence among men and among women caused by different but related things. A man, to be interesting to a woman and worthwhile to himself, must be competent. To be competent is to handle life's challenges. And that's a broad range of skills to have. You need to know how to fix your car when it breaks down, how to fix something in your house, how to have skills with your hands, even if you're largely an intellectual person.
Right.
Because the people who depend on you will one day say, there is a crisis and you need to solve it. A man also needs to be competent in the management of his time, of his money, of what goes into his mind. You know, we have many diet books and other things for what goes into our bodies. But what goes into your mind is what determines what quality man you have or you are. And the schools used to be these very elaborately constructed filters for making sure that only quality got through and was presented. Now we're presenting garbage, knowing that it's garbage, because we think that is somehow making a better society to feed people mental junk food. To become competent, you have to do hard things. That means studying hard subjects. It means doing things that you don't immediately like, that you may not like or be competent at for a while, and humbly take the setbacks and the failures until you achieve that. True self-esteem is in doing hard, perhaps thankless things for a long period of time before you can finally say that you've done it and the world is forced to recognize your achievement. We've taken all that away from children. It's very important for boys. Women's lives naturally have chapters. Some of them are biologically underlined. Some of those are culturally or socially underlined. Men's lives only have chapters based on achievements, which a man must choose to pursue something, to achieve it, to realize it. And then he cannot rest. He must choose the next thing. A man's life only has structure if it has achievements.
We have so much more to discuss, but let me just jump in at this point with regards to that very important point of the natural chapters of a female life and then the goals a man has to set himself. How essential in that latter instance is the need for mentors to help inject a sense of those goals?
A man certainly needs mentors, but he needs both living mentors and dead ones. And you can talk to the dead ones by reading, by listening, by reconstructing through study. And you will find that you have many, many mentors. And among the living, one must be very careful in choosing mentors, but one, especially when one is young, choose them. They're not automatically your fourth grade teacher. They're not automatically your associate professor of sociology. They could be, but they must be, in effect, interviewed. They must be weighed and balanced. Are they the right mentor for you for this particular skill or this particular time in your life? You always have to be choosing. You always have to be deciding. The idea that we should have no judgment, that we should uncritically accept, will not make boys into men.
All right, I think we have...
And this is why women find men, today's men, so frustrating. Most of them have not done this hard work. And this is why Jordan Peterson's success is so off the charts, because he's the one of those few voices offering that kind of hard work. But if you went into any 19th century classroom, if you go back and read the things that they assigned, there was plenty of those lessons there. This is what Kipling referred to as the gods of copybook headings. In the old days, to learn handwriting, you would copy down this phrase over and over again. At the top of each page of the copybook was pre-printed various one sentences, bits of wisdom from the past, which you can ignore for a time, but reality always bites, right?
Reality does always bite. We've already had Kipling mentioned. We've had Jordan Peterson. We will be asking for recommendations before we finish this fascinating discussion today. It is the Manhood Hour with me, Sebastian Gorka. Make sure you never, ever miss any of our deep dives with fascinating guests like Rich Miniter. Subscribe on the podcast platform of your choice. Just plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Leave us a 5-star review and do share the links with your friends. And if an hour a week or 3 hours a day of radio simply isn't enough, join us this July 4th weekend. 300 tickets already gone for our Patriots Alaska cruise. This is especially for those of you who missed our trip to the Holy Land a year ago. This is a little bit closer to home. We will be sailing the waterways of the most beautiful state of the Republic. Check out the amazing itinerary at sebgorka.com and reserve your cabin today. With me, Katie, Jennifer Horn, Mike Gallagher, Chris DeGarl, and so many more like-minded Patriots. SEBGORK. sebgorka.com and the Patriots Alaska Cruise banner.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Greetings, this is Dr. Sebastian Gorka from the Midas Gold Group War Room. The MAGA veterans at Midas point out that the Federal Reserve note does not belong to you. It belongs to the Federal Reserve Bank. While the federal debt doesn't belong to the Federal Reserve Bank, it belongs to you. This is your wake-up call to what the Midas Gold Group veterans believe the central bank and government are trying to do, a controlled demolition of our current system with a central bank digital currency to take complete and utter control of our transactional freedoms, a literal digital concentration camp replete with social sanctions. Protect yourself. Turn this wake-up call into a phone call and look into the opportunities that gold can provide you as a way to diversify your investments. Call veteran-owned Midas Gold Group today, 855-322-GOLD, or go to MidasGoldGroup.com. That's 855-322-GOLD, or just go to MidasGoldGroup.com. Always faithful, Midas Gold Group, MAGA, and proud of it.
Hi, this is President Trump, and Sebastian is really a friend of mine. He's a great guy. He's been with me from the beginning. Listen to him. We all learn.
Thank you, Mr. President. We're already making summer plans, trips, places to visit the Tocqueville Castle. That sounds like a definite must-do vacation destination. If you'd like to have that man you just heard back in the White House, if you'd like to have national sovereignty, a border again, prosperity, and how about this, no new wars in the world, then let's tell the world that we are on his side. Fly the flag that says it all. I stand with Trump. Trump 2024. Get yours today. Of course, made in America at sebgorkastore.com. And perhaps the most important item we have ever put there. It's just a photograph and a T-shirt of a beautiful lady taken from us far too early. And the phrase, say her name, Laken Riley. Get that, all of my books, and so much more at sebgorkastore.com. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorkastore.com. And please support the president directly at DonaldJTrump.com. That's DonaldJTrump.com. We are doing the opposite of what our guest called the mental junk food that is fed to our children in schools today. We are giving a new curriculum for how we wrestle back the virtues upon which our civilization was founded. Let's dissect that assault on Western values, classic concepts of masculinity and so forth. Is it possible to divine a genesis for that assault? Is it just the hoary old saying that soft times, easy times make soft men? Or was that the beginning and then ideological actors came in, the Frankfurt School et al.? If you had to drive it back to a point at which this general assault occurred, where did it begin, Rich?
Well, you could tell a story about ideology and various forms of German and French Marxism that became dominant in intellectual circles in the 1950s. But the answer is actually deeper and simpler than that. And that is to say, the Puritans who formed so much of New England culture, when they lost their belief in God in the early 20th century, they had to replace it with something. And they largely replaced it with a belief in progress. But all of their censorious attitudes, all their finger-wagging and scolding remained. So this is where you get the modern Karen from. She doesn't know this, but she's an intellectual heir to the Puritans who lost their faith. But that same religious zeal is there, both in trying to reorder sexual relationships in society, trying to reorder our economy around green energy. It is the same impulse, this missionary people who landed on the rocky coasts of Massachusetts 400 years ago continue to have a cultural impact on us.
So Blaise Pascal is right. The God-shaped hole in the human soul has just been replaced with something that isn't God, but they're still wagging at you.
They're still religious zealots without God, yes.
So,
And if you look at Lenin and Stalin, for example, their prosecution is very religious. It's not an accident that Stalin studied to become a priest before he became a communist.
Right.
This missionary zeal that doesn't see ordinary human beings, that doesn't moderate or compromise, this is where it comes from.
And then it was Koestler who called it a godless religion, who called this socialism a godless religion. So why did it happen here? In Europe, we understand after World War I, the loss of a whole generation brings this natural nihilism. But the doughboys arrived late to the Great War. Why did that dying of God or true faith happen here across the pond?
I'm always suspicious of explanations that have one cause. History is buffeted by many tributaries and confluences of forces, right? And so to say it's all caused by one thing, that's great in a movie. That's not an explanation of what really happened, right? And so, I mean, Paul Johnson's the Modern Times is probably the book that summarizes most. But all of these changes were underway because society fundamentally changed after World War I. The aristocratic class in Europe vanished or began to leave. Its power dramatically shrank. And after the 1922 reforms in Britain, for example, the aristocrats no longer had an automatic place in the House of Lords. And there were other changes on the continent. A lot of them were buried in Flanders Fields and similar graveyards. That period of history had changed. But I think what changed the intellectual class, especially among the Germans and the French, which had an impact here, because the Americans at this period of time looked up to the Europeans as somehow superior to us.
Sophisticated.
Smarter, better, yes. If only we could be like them. And instead of looking at, well, these guys just blew themselves up. Are you sure you want to follow this model?
Right.
And so those ideas came, and some of these ideas literally came in the form of immigrants, right? So a lot of the progressive radicals of the 1890s who came here because of persecution in Europe were followed in the 1920s by radicals who found out that hyperinflation in Germany meant that there was high unemployment. And so they didn't change their ideas. They traveled with their ideas, and they landed in New York and other places and became very influential very quickly because they were the sophisticated Europeans. But these were the ideas of a civilization that was in the process of committing suicide. But the simpler way to look at all this is this. With confidence, one can make better choices. If women had more confidence in themselves, a lot of the downstream effects could be reduced, right? And boys also need confidence in themselves. And the modern social media is profoundly anti-male. The kinds of things that if they were just simply reversed would be shocking. Like if you were to say something one-tenth as intense about a woman as what is commonly and casually said about men would be shocking and outrageous. And we would be right to be outraged by it. The idea that one whole sex is wrong or one whole sex is right is perfectly acceptable in four-year-olds, but after that, I think we learn to make finer distinctions, right?
Yes, we do if we're living in the real world. We're talking to the CEO, the founder of Zenga News, Zenga.news. Check it out today, as well as his books. I highly recommend Losing Bin Laden and Mastermind, the Story of KSM, Khaled Sheikh Mohammed, by our manhood, our guest, Rich Miniter. If you want to keep up on the breaking news, we give it to you every single day. Make sure you are following us on all the social media platforms at Matter. Just look for Seb Gorka or Sebastian Gorka on Truth Social, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Parler, Getter, Telegram. You can watch us. We are a TV show as well on your Roku, your Fire Stick, your Samsung Plus device, or just download the Salem News Channel app. And for unique content by me, go to my Substack with direct access to me. That's SebastianGorka.substack.com. That's my whole name. There's one word, SebastianGorka.substack.com. And if you enjoy this show, support those who make it possible. This isn't NPR. We don't get $500 million of your hard-earned taxpayer money every single year. This is a free market enterprise. Support those who make it possible. Great patriots like Mike Lindell, the inventor of the MyPillow. Yes, he sold 81 million of them because they are that good. But are you aware he's got hundreds of other items on his website made in America by Americans for you? Don't buy that Chinese tat on Amazon. Go to MyPillow.com. Use my name for up to 2/3 off and free shipping. You won't find another deal like that anywhere. 800-829-8468, MyPillow.com. But you've got to use the secret code G-O-R-K-A. Did you know that 84% of New Year's resolutions fail in the first 6 weeks? That's got me thinking about PhD weight loss and nutrition and why it was a success for me. Why I haven't gained 1 pound of my 42-pound weight loss back. Why Jeff, my producer, decided to start the program. Most people blame their failure on a lack of time, motivation, and a loss of zeal. PhD makes it simple. It doesn't take a lot of extra time. They are masters of motivation. You have a team of coaches by your side the whole time, and you don't lose your zeal because every week you make great strides, so you stay excited. Do something different this year and call PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition, 864-644-1900. To get started, or online at myphdweightloss.com. Don't do this alone. The number, 864-644-1900, myphdweightloss.com.
America first. Magnificent.
What can you do to make a difference? Do you need a nationally syndicated radio show? Do you need to run for Congress? No, you just have to be wise to whom you have connected your cell phone. If you're big with one of the big cell phone providers, you are quite literally with every call and every text sending, you are funding those who hate you. The big cell phone providers are left-wing. They're woke. They donate millions of dollars of your profits every year to things like Planned Parenthood, to foundations who are trying to cancel and to censor conservatives. Join the good guys. There's only one alternative, the only Christian conservative cell phone company. It's the one I use. It's Patriot Mobile. They have the same nationwide coverage, a performance guarantee. Glenn and his team are superb. Oh, and by the way, they're patriots who love America and who have donated millions of dollars to causes you believe in. The First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the sanctity of life. Switch today. Keep your old number, keep your old phone, or get an upgrade. It's super easy. Just call 972-PATRIOT and join today. Free activation with my name. You can also go to patriotmobile.com/GORKA. Don't fund those who hate what you stand for. That's insanity. 972-728-7468. That's patriotmobile.com/GORKA, 972-PATRIOT. Rich, besides the clearly demonstrable ideological aspect of the assault on classic masculine values, how much of what we are witnessing also is a function of life being too good? That everything's too easy. The biggest complaint a millennial can have is that, you know, the Wi-Fi signal at Starbucks is weak today. Are we condemned, you know, that saying that, you know, until there's a catastrophe, a next war, we won't appreciate what the real values and meaning are?
So this is the Adam Ferguson argument, right? Contemporary of Adam Smith, that industrialization is great for productivity. It creates all these beautiful new things more cheaply and more quickly than ever before, but it results in weak character and weak men. And I understand why in 1780 that sounded like a plausible hypothesis, but let's look at it today. These same men who seem soft, who are playing video games, are turned into war heroes in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Right.
Some of them jumped into the icy waters off Alaska and have rescued people whose ships have gone down, right, and the Coast Guard and the air rescue teams. Don't write them off so quickly. I don't think we have a lost generation. I think we have a generation that needs to rescue itself, and they are capable of doing so. So there are no final defeats for American men. And being a man is not being a bully or a bragger. It is being a doer. And one of those things that you must learn how to do is diplomacy, learning how to get along with others, how to get them to cooperate in the socially useful things that you want to do. That is also a man's skill. So it's not just, you know, John Wayne with a six-shooter in his hand. It is also, I mean, I see this lesson from my father as well. A few days after we shot that deer, we got in the car and we went to the house of the man who issued the, it was a small town in the Catskill Mountains, named Rosendale, New York. And we shoveled his driveway because he couldn't come inspect our house because he couldn't shovel his own or wouldn't shovel his own driveway. And then he followed us up the mountain road to inspect the house and give us the piece of paper that let us move in. What must my father have been feeling about his family in the cold, in the snow, with a small fire under a tarp behind a beautiful house that he built and couldn't move into? But he swallowed all of that pride he might have had and was charming and was effective, and got the piece of paper so he could lawfully move in. And that Christmas, we celebrated it inside the house, before a tree that we had also gone into the forest and cut and dragged back, probably also with the same chain. But a man must be a diplomat as well.
I don't know about you, but that's the harder part for me to learn.
It's hard for me too. It's hard for all of us. But hard things are worth doing.
Yeah, it's. I've seen this with even my employees, that there's a phrase in Hungarian called fovágás, or chopping wood. You have to do a lot of chopping wood. May not be fun, but there are things that need to be done for you to be able to reach a certain next stage in your evolution as a man. Everyone does it. Everyone has to. And if you don't, let me assure you that sooner or later you will be surprised by situations you weren't prepared for. We're talking to the author of Losing Bin Laden, How Bill Clinton's Failures Unleashed Global Terror, and Mastermind, the story of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the architect of 9/11. Please check out his incredible news agency at Zenger News. That's Z-E-N-G-E-R, Zenger.news. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios, just outside the insalubrious, fetid, rank, malodorous, noisome, ghastly swamp that is Washington, D.C. Relief Factor. It's real. It works. How do I know that? Because I don't advertise anything I don't have to. Salem is superb. I get to choose who my sponsors are, and I try everything that you hear about on this show. I wasn't sure about this product 5 years ago. I tried it, and my low back pain issue that had plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade, went, disappeared within 2 weeks, and I haven't suffered from it since. That was 5 years ago. There's more than a million people in the same situation as me. Listen to Alicia from California. This is her story. I'm a grocery store worker and was working doubles during the coronavirus shutdown. At 52 years old, my two bad knees did not get a rest. I literally limped to and from bed. 2 days into Relief Factor, and the pain decreased substantially. So thankful for this amazing product. That should be your story. That could be your story. Find out today. There's only one way. It's super easy. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you. Like it works for me, for Alicia, and for over a million of your fellow Americans. Relieffactor.com, 1-800-4-RELIEF. 1-800-4-RELIEF, relieffactor.com. Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. After he invented the world's best pillow, he created the famous Giza Dream Sheets. They are the best sheets you will ever sleep on. For a limited time, you'll get a queen-size set for $59.98, king-size for $69.98, the lowest prices in history. Mike and the My Pillow Company continue to be canceled by big box stores and attacked by the media. They appreciate all of your great support during these times and want to thank you by giving you the best specials on all their products. To get those specials, go to MyPillow.com or call 800-829-8468, promo code G-O-R-K-A. You get the famous Giza Dream Sheets, queen size $59.98 and king size for $69.98. You'll also get 60% off the original My Slippers. So call 800-829-8468 or go to MyPillow.com. Promo code G-O-R-K-A.
The antidote to fake news. America first.
Welcome back, dear friends. This is the Manhood Hour with our special guest in studio, Rich Miniter. The favorite question of our team here, for those who are truly blessed and lucky, the answer is their father. But for others, it's been a football coach, an uncle, a grandfather. For Rich Miniter, it sounds like it was your dad. Was there somebody else along the way who you said, you looked at him and said, that's why what I be when I grow up to be a man?
Well, yeah, there are many others, yeah. Right? But also experience is a great mentor, too, right? Self-esteem, true self-esteem, is your reputation with yourself. And if you develop your self-reputation when you say, I know I can do this, I know I'm capable, I've done hard things before, that's a kind of teacher too. But I could cite many others.
Give us a couple.
Well, one was a missionary that I met in southern Sudan who just quietly, despite great adversity, went about doing the best things that he could. And I spent weeks with him in a town called Yei in South Sudan, which was then part of Sudan and very much in civil war. There were wreckages of T-72 tanks and there were still landmined areas. And there were warring tribes that were allegedly on the same side but still had tribal animosities. There were religious tensions between the Catholics and the evangelical Protestants and among the non-Christians, the animists. And this missionary just quietly went about his work, making peace where he could, making temporary arrangements where he could. And there's a lot to be said for some watching someone, and this is in the late 1990s, go about doing, not dreaming about what's possible or some grand vision, but just working in the practical here and now. Can we make this 1% better today? Right? And that focus was incredible. And the humility with which he went about it was incredible.
I love this phrase, a true self-esteem comes from your reputation with yourself.
Yes. You're always watching yourself.
Yeah, right.
You're always present.
Right.
Even asleep, perhaps. So you know who you are. Do you have a bad reputation with yourself? Do you not do the things you say and set out to do? If so, you're not going to trust yourself, and ultimately you're not going to like yourself. And therefore, you can't do things to change the situation. It's very bad to develop a bad reputation, but it's even worse to develop a bad reputation with yourself.
Let me thread that through the needle of something that constantly comes back to me, not as something that irks me, but as a potential challenge for all of us who care about these issues. You mentioned Jordan Peterson, who has been incredibly successful with his books, The 12 Rules for Life and so forth. What happens next? We have this standard question we ask our guests. What is the non-negotiable minimum curriculum for young men and boys in our civilization, in our country? And let me paraphrase it or change it slightly with reference to Jordan Peterson. How do we take his message to the next level? So beyond, you know, you make your bed, tidy your room. Okay, got it. But that's a beginning. That's a stage zero. What is missing next? What is the next jigsaw puzzle if we are to defuse and defeat those who say masculinity is bad? What's the next level of teaching, of values?
Well, the Victorians wrestled with this, and they had good answers. So look at some of the things that they had young boys read, right? One was a very short story called Horatio at the Bridge. You probably know it. Yeah. I'm sure they also taught it in Britain. And maybe even in Hungary. It's the story, and it may not be a true story, that the barbarians are trying to invade Rome, and there's one bridge defended by three men, two of whom want to shirk their duty, and a man named Horatio, who is outnumbered, and goes to the center of the bridge and draws his sword and announces his title and his name, and he says, "I will face any man in a one-on-one combat of equal rank." Now, of course, among the barbarians, they all claim to be princes and dukes and things. But one by one, they come out to meet him. And one by one, he kills them. And the bodies begin to pile up. But the barbarians can't, as a matter of honor, surge past him and invade over that bridge, through that gate, and into Rome. And he holds them up for hours and hours. And the sun climbs into the sky and then descends into the late afternoon sky. And he's tired, and he's wounded, and is bleeding, and he's still challenging the next man and the next man, till eventually he is killed. But that story, which may not be a happy story for girls, is an inspiring story for boys, because it's about what a man can be. A man can do what is right and stand against all the odds. It's not a story like Ibsen's story, right, in which they know the baths are poisonous water, if you do the tanneries, and the lone scientist, he, Thomas, stands against his brother, the mayor, and says, "You can't open these baths, you're going to kill people." And of course, he's belittled and mocked, and Ibsen portrays Thomas as kind of a righteous fool. This is a mocking of manhood, a mocking of heroic valor, of standing against the group. And if standing against the group doesn't accomplish anything, why would anyone do it? These are different societies that teach different values. The enemy of the people story of Ibsen versus Horatio at the bridge. Yeah. We need more stories that are true, like Horatio at the bridge. And I'll tell you a true one very briefly.
Yeah.
At Guadalcanal, two Marines. One is blinded by a Japanese hand grenade, and the other man, a different hand grenade, takes off his hands and much of his limbs. And the two cooperate through the night, holding their position against Japanese invasion. Because if the Japanese get past them, the Marine position will collapse and all of their brothers will die. And so the blinded man says, who's got the machine gun, tells the man without hands, where do I shoot? Where do I shoot? And all night long, that machine gun rattles and rages. And the Japanese bodies pile up. And this is a true story. And this man, I believe, won the Congressional Medal of Honor. He was lionized in movies from the 1940s. Now, this is a story we can't tell today because it's about death and it's about combat. And who knows, it might even be perceived as an un-Japanese story, although in a different context, the Japanese character would love this story. But if we don't tell stories about like this that are true, all is not unicorns and rainbows. You see people who calmly and bravely do their duty, and they should be admired. And if we tell these stories, we'll start to shape the souls of people, of men especially, into better versions of themselves. Maybe the Victorians were right, and the lost generation of the 1920s was wrong. Let's choose better.
Read some Kipling, read if, read Horatio on the bridge, and it's a good place to start. We have our very special Manhood Hour guest in studio, the founder, the CEO of Zenga News, Zenga.us, Rich Miniter. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Patriot Mobile is the only conservative Christian cell phone company in America after Nancy Pelosi's illegal January 6th committee came after my cell phone records and the records of my wife and my children. And my cell phone provider capitulated. That was it. That's when I cut the cord and I went with the only cell phone company a patriot should use. PatriotMobile.com have the same nationwide coverage, a performance guarantee, special discounts for veterans and first responders. Switch today. You keep your old number, you keep your old phone, or get an upgrade, but don't fund those who surrender to the left or fund the left. Call today, 972-PATRIOT, patriotmobile.com/Gorka. That's 972-728-7468, patriotmobile.com/GORKA. It's just another manic Monday.
Dr. G is ready for anything on America First.
If you want to know more about that incredible story, the Marine blinded by a grenade who fought through the night, killed over 200 Japanese at Guadalcanal. The individual we are talking about is Albert Andrew Schmid with a D, and he was played by John Garfield in the 1945 film Pride of the Marines. What a fabulous hour it's been. I'm gonna maybe open the aperture a bit too wide with the last 3 minutes we have. How much of what we've been discussing is not a function of soft times or crazy ideologues who are targeting men, but of an elite that has created this paradoxical situation whereby they hate the civilization that they represent? I find it quite perverse.
If you don't like yourself, you have a choice. You can change yourself or you can change the external world around you. They have decided, rather than do the hard work of changing themselves, that they want to remake society so that it's less painful to them. What we're suffering is their search for therapy.
Yeah. And what they are doing is what they call in psychiatry a displacement action. Instead of dealing with the thing that is the actual core issue, they project it to the external, and they say, well, I'm going to fix the climate, I'm going to have a borderless hemisphere, and that will potentially be the salve for my soul.
Andrew Breitbart called me once. He was going to send a video crew to Occupy Wall Street, and he was going to make a documentary about Occupy Wall Street. And I said, Andrew, you should ask every person just one question. What do you think of your father?
And your expectation would have been what? For
they all would have been negative.
Yeah.
They're all at war with their parents. And the reason why the Torah says, the Bible says, honor thy father and the mother, is it means as a child, as an adult child, with imagination and sympathy, one must find ways to admire the adults that are our parents. Not as a child expect them to have been perfect, but to forgive them and realize they were adults doing the best that they could and find something to admire and honor in them, and then hope the next generation does the same hard work regarding you.
Well, I've made lots of notes there. I am sure you found this as valuable as I did. One point that will stick with me beyond the story I heard again of the hunting trip with his father is this concept of your reputation with yourself and where true self-esteem begins. Not in a wellness self-improvement way, but in a way that you face the truth and you don't blame others for your frailties. I'm Sebastian Gorka. You've been listening to The Manhood Hour with Rich Miniter. If you enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe to the podcast, whichever platform you prefer. Follow us on all social media and check out my Substack as well. That's sebastiangorka.substack.com. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty.
forth upon this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
I have a dream.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people...
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
My husband died a hero, but he also lived as one. Our world will never be the same, but I know I speak for everyone when I say I could not be more proud of him. It's been 2 years and 2 months since Detective Rivera and Detective Mora made the ultimate sacrifice, just like my husband, Jonathan Diller. Dominique Rivera stood in front of all the elected officials present today pleading for change. That change never came. And now my son will grow up without his father. I will grow old without my husband. And his parents have to say goodbye to their child. How many more police officers and how many more families need to make the ultimate sacrifice before we start protecting them? I don't wish this kind of pain on anyone. Jonathan lived his life doing good for people, and it's now time for people to do good for all the officers he represents. Which reminds me, to all his friends in the 105, CRT, and the boys, he wanted me to say, I love you. Jonathan, Ryan, and I don't know how we're going to live without you, but I am so amazingly grateful for every single moment we had with you. Rest in peace, Jonathan, the man who captured my heart and now all of New York's.
Stephanie Diller, widow of officer, now posthumously promoted to detective, Jonathan Diller, speaking about her life as a widow, as the mother of a little toddler called Ryan, after her husband was murdered in a traffic stop by an individual with 21 prior arrests who is walking free on the streets of New York because, well, we know why, don't we? As New York and America, thousands and thousands of people came out for that man's funeral. The Biden White House, the president, decided to release a proclamation on Easter Day. While we show the B-roll of the funeral, I'm going to read from this proclamation to just give you a snapshot of the insanity in which we live today in America. This is signed by Joseph Robinette Biden. And it's called The Proclamation on Transgender Day of Visibility, dated yesterday, Easter Sunday, when we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Today we honor and celebrate the achievements and resiliency of transgender individuals and communities. Transgender Day of Visibility recognizes the generations of struggle, activism, and courage that have brought our country closer to full equity for transgender and gender non-binary people in the United States and around the world. Their trailblazing work has given countless transgender individuals the bravery to live openly and authentically. This hard-fought progress is also shaping an increasingly accepting world in which peers at school, teammates and coaches on the playing fields, colleagues at work and allies in every corner of society are standing in support and solidarity with the transgender community. In spite of our progress in advancing civil rights for LGBTQ plus Americans, too many transgender people, adults and youth alike, still face systematic barriers to freedom and equality. Transgender Americans of all ages face high rates of violence, harassment, and discrimination. Nearly one in three transgender Americans have experienced homelessness at some point in life. I wonder why that is. Transgender Americans continue to face discrimination in employment, housing, healthcare, and public accommodations, whatever that is. The crisis of violence against transgender women, especially transgender women of color, is a stain on our nation's conscience. Really? When was the last time you heard of a transgender black woman suffering violence? If it were a big issue, wouldn't it be on CNN every night? Sorry, let me get back to the proclamation. To ensure that the federal government protects the civil rights of transgender Americans, I signed on my first day in office an executive order on preventing and combating discrimination on the basis of gender identity or sexual orientation. Today, we are proud to celebrate Transgender Day of Visibility, not Easter, alongside barrier-breaking public servants, including the first openly transgender American to be confirmed by the U.S. State Senate. What happened to that guy at the Department of Energy? You know, the pervert in the dress who kept stealing people's luggage? We also celebrate together with transgender Americans across the country who will benefit from our efforts to stop discrimination and advance inclusion for transgender Americans in housing, in credit and lending services, in the care we provide for our veterans and more. Yeah, all those transgender veterans. Now, therefore, I, Joseph R. Biden, Jr., President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim March 31st, Easter, 2021, as the Transgender Day of Visibility. I call upon all Americans to join in the fight for full equality for all transgender people. Now pay attention to this bit, because this, yeah, this is a doozy. In witness there. Of, I have hereunto set my hand this 31st day of March in the year of our Lord 2021 and of the independence of the United States of America, the 245th. Signed, Joseph Robinette Biden, Jr. Year of our Lord? Year of our Lord? That's a bit weird. You're recognizing a mental disease at the level of presidential proclamation on Easter Sunday. If you ever wondered whether there is a culture war in America, a full frontal assault against Judeo-Christian values, look no further than that. No mention of Easter. No proclamation on the fact that there have been 300, let's talk about real violence, 300 attacks, attempted assaults, arson against Catholic facilities since Roe v. Wade was tossed out of the Supreme Court a year ago. 300. Where's the proclamation on the war on Christians? Or how about the viral videos of young women being punched in the face as a sport in New York? I wonder by who. Have we looked into that? Or who's behind the assault on Asian Americans across the nation? Have we looked into that? As we say goodbye to Officer Jonathan Diller, Detective Diller, we have one man who pays his respects at that funeral with thousands of patriots, literally thousands. The same time that Biden, Obama, Clinton are in New York with their elitist buddies raising $25 million at a fundraiser. There could be no starker example Oh, the two Americas that exist today. Those who live in a fantasy land of transgender violence against black men who think they're women. And the crime wave that takes the likes of Officer Diller, Lake and Riley, and so many more. Choose wisely, my friends. Get involved. Get involved. Get involved. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Hope you have a blessed, hope you had a blessed, blessed Easter. We'll be back with so much more and a very special manhood hour guest today. Stay with us here on America First.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.